I have one for you. Okay. Good afternoon. Let's open up this afternoon's session, Brother Jerry's discourse, with a singing of 152. That's 152. And at the last verse, please rise and we'll be led in prayer by Brother George Young. That's 152.
Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come into thy hallowed presence at this time. So very thankful, Father, for this wonderful privilege of being able to come away from our earthly cares and come to the convention here where thou hast provided us a wonderful and abundant blessing through your children here in this class. We do ask thy blessing upon thy children the world over, and especially those that are going through difficult trials. Be with each one, especially those that are sick or isolated or bereaved. And we once again ask thy special blessing be upon Brother Jerry as he is to open up and present a message where it the pyramid shows a chronology that will support what chronology we see from the scriptures. And we thank you so much for this. And please open up our hearts and minds that we might be able to receive the lesson that thou hast intended for us, and that we might be able to apply these things in our lives, that we might walk more faithfully, more humbly in the narrow way of sacrifice. Once again, we ask thy blessing upon each one bowed before thee. We thank you for your wonderful gift of thine only begotten Son, for that ransom sacrifice that we so look forward to, the full and complete fulfillment of it, where all will be blessed. And we put all of thy care and keeping, praying for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, good afternoon to you. Be blessed with the additional lessons. This afternoon's lessons will be by Brother Jerry, and Brother Jerry will be dealing with the chronological lessons of the Great Pyramid. So, Brother Jerry.
Dear brethren, we are very pleased to be with you. Glad that Sister Sharon could join us. We're glad to be able to also extend our visit to our family this week. We'd like to bring you the love and greetings from our class in Portland, and they always wished their love given. Our definition of time is the measure of space between events. Without events, we do not have time. Without a measure or rule, we would not know how to compare the space between events. So chronology is simply a record of events in order of sequence and position on that measuring line or ruler. It can be measured by the speed of light or the movement of bodies. Here is how God described time, space, and chronology. Genesis 1, verse 14. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And from Job 38, we read, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who stretched the line upon it? The most basic measures of time are the day and the year. This is the time the earth makes a complete rotation as exposed to the sun, and the time the earth makes a complete orbit around the sun. The day is about 23 hours, 56 minutes, 4.091 seconds. The year around the sun is about 365.242 days. Then there is a slow and great rotation or precession of the Earth's polar axis called precession of the equinox. This is a cycle of 25,694.3 years. Now, looking at the Great Pyramid as a time clock, which confirms the same record, we find years marked by the pyramid inch, which was described before about or nearly 1/25th part of the ancient cubit. Astronomers know one of the longest Earth-scribed circle in the heavens is that precession of the equinoxes, 25,694 years. If we look at the foundations of the pyramid laid by him who also laid the foundations of the earth, and measure the two longest straight measures, being the two base diagonals, we find the same total of inches as in this procession. Now, each base side measures 365, 2.42 cubits, as was also earlier mentioned. These are the same as the days in a year with the four sides. It includes the precise days in 4 years, including leap year. Natural Israel, I think we've lost one here, one slide. Natural Israel and much of the nominal church overlooked their Messiah that was born in Bethlehem. Then only lowly shepherds and foreign kings acknowledged this great event. The prophet Micah knew Jesus was to come from Bethlehem. And as we saw earlier today, one may draw a line on a map directly between Bethlehem and the pyramid. This line will descend in the exact same distinctive passage angle of 26 degrees, 18 minutes, 9.7 seconds, to which the descending passage lies to the base. The significance of this connection is seen more when we remember that our Lord, when a child, was carried down into Egypt from Bethlehem, and that the pyramid, which marks the midst in the midst of Egypt, is the symbol of our Lord, Matthew 2:1-15. Furthermore, that line, taken as a diameter of a circle, produces a circumference with the even number of cubits times 1,000 as years between the pyramid's construction in 2140 BC and the true birth of Jesus, which you know was in BC 2, or 1.25 years before our commonly designated era. Additionally, the base of a triangle with the same slope to Bethlehem and used as a diameter of another circle has the same factor of even cubits as years between Jesus' birth and the autumn of 1914. Now Israel was given various other measures and ways to mark time. These involved the phases of the moon, a seven-day Sabbath, a seven-year Sabbath, a 50-year Jubilee. Mankind marks the same years of their lives from birth to death. They are given a 7,000-year day that begins with evening and ends with morning. We have a timeline clearly drawn from Volume 2 with all of these sections. We have the overall perspectives with various details and exact points for events. The rule can be used to find and place prophecies and markers. Furthermore, we can determine such things as the year of Noah's flood, and even the precise events of the year on that ark, finding what months the waters were on the earth, and even when the birds were sent out. From Daniel, we know about the 70 weeks and can so determine Jesus' date of birth, his baptism, his death, and the end of the Jewish age of favor. It was Daniel's prophecy that led many of the watchers to be in expectation of the Messiah. And we can now look back in the light of the word to know where the prophecy began and where it ends. All this gives us a platform for understanding history and prophecy and where we are on the stream of time. Now, the internal features of the pyramid confirm the plan of the ages in a very striking way, in that it confirms not only features of the plan, but the Bible chronology. Looking at the pyramids in a cross-section, we observe a correlation with the divine plan of the ages. If one does not understand the chronology, the pyramid would lose much of its luster. We know there are many ways and projections to come up with important numbers. Our intention today is not to explain every fraction of an inch. Many measurements are most difficult to determine, even with modern instruments, given the wear and damage in certain areas. Otherwise, there have been minor changes due to some major earthquakes in antiquity. Actually, it has remarkably withstood them. Our main measurements come from the theoretical geometric points and lengths, knowing the angles and sides and passages. And so we will not drill down to every decimal or estimated point, but try to confine ourselves to the known distances along straight, direct lines of stone, with perhaps a couple of small excursions. This will give us the confirming picture and leave the further adventure to those who love numbers and complex calculations and perhaps a good calculator. Now, Brother Russell and others saw the well mouth as pointing to the death and resurrection of Jesus, while the shaft stands a bit just beyond the north wall of the Grand Gallery and continues downward and southward. Yet the rupture of the upper mouth actually breaks open fully towards the north wall. Within the pyramid, we can also measure time and confirm the scriptures. We must first reckon a central reference point from which to count forwards and backwards. Brother Russell regarded the north wall as indicating the birth of Jesus, and about 33 inches further, marking Jesus' resurrection generally over the well mouth. Brother Edgar, marking Jesus measured from the north wall and regarded that point as Christ's death rather than his birth. Both seem to have some significant indicators, and each may be used to notice biblical confirmation, but for the present time and this lesson, we will use the Edgar model. Let us look at the point of decision in the Grand Gallery. At the beginning of the Grand Gallery is this gaping hole in the floor where the well mouth meets the juncture. If this juncture represents the event of the death and resurrection of Jesus, where the law age ends and the gospel age begins, does it also show the date of this momentous event? His death opens the way for life and immortality. By using this juncture with the Grand Gallery to represent the death, the date of the crucifixion and of the resurrection of Christ, then measuring back along the line of the first ascending passage, back 33 and a half inches of his life, an inch for a year, it is found to correspond exactly with an extended line from the Queen's Chamber floor as there is a step towards the end of the horizontal passage as we saw earlier. These inches represent the 33 and a half years of our Lord's earthly life, during which he was subject to the law, Luke 2:27, and Matthew 5:17. Jesus was made of a woman under the law. He was made flesh, Galatians 4:4, and John 1:14. Therefore, these inches are shown in the law passage at the very end of the law age. Yet he was not born like fallen mankind, on the downward course to destruction. He was a perfect man for just 30 years before he was spirit begotten. And so it is noticeable that the base of this line, of this triangle, is just 30 inches. This could not be so with any other length or angle of the passage. By understanding the Queen's Chamber representing human restitution, we project this idea back to the time of Christ and realize he was born perfect, representing all that man will recover. So it was Jesus who lived just 30 years as a perfect human being, then another 3.5 years as a consecrated new creature. Then, when his sacrifice was finished on the cross, a new and living way was opened for us. For now, let us just mark these 2 points as BC 2, really BC 1.25 or 1 1/4 years before our calendar, and 33 AD. Remember these 2 points. It will be referred to throughout our lesson. Remember BC 2 and AD 33. Fix those in our mind because those will be our central reference points. Now, following this central reference point, we can measure inches for years, forward and or backward, along the passage angles and find some remarkable corroborations of the Bible chronology. This brings us to the date 1512 BC. That would be the 1510.01 plus 1.25. Now, if we continue to mark time backwards to the entrance, we come to those parallel scored lines on the opposite walls. They lie just below stones that are laid at an entirely different angle than the other framing stones of the passage. This calls attention to a point in time that we should pause and look to where they are drawn. The year indicated, following the inch per year rule, is 2140 BC. If we look up the passage in that year, we are looking directly at the pole star Alpha Draconis. And following the direction of these scored lines, they point directly above to Alcyone of the Pleiades cluster as it passed over the zenith or meridian. This was at midnight of the autumn equinox on October 10th, 2140 BC, according to the Julian calendar. All this seems to indicate both the downward direction introduced by the great dragon as well as the upward direction destined within the divine plan of the ages, as well as the very year in which the divine plan was set in stone. Now, according to our understanding of Bible chronology, the year that the flood was upon the earth was 2473. You know what? And I have forgotten some handouts. I might just, Sharon, could you reach in my briefcase, and there's in 2 packages. And I might, just for your convenience and attention to here, we'll leave them here for your taking afterwards rather than disturbing the program now. But we will have, there's two particular handouts that will have some of the chronology for you to reference later. So we'll have those after the program. We had an earlier slide, and it's also on the handouts, indicating the year of the flood, according to our chronology, as 2473 BC. If our reckoning is wrong, or if another revised chronology is correct, then this was not the year of the flood. However, we are confident in this biblical timeline, and it was correct. So now, let us continue to measure from the point of intersection further back to the vertical line where the casing stones cease and the framing stones for the descending passage begin. These casing stones are now removed, and one now begins their descent just at this point called the basement sheet. We find this marks the year 2473. In fact, the precise measure is 2473.162 inches, or 2473.162 BC, which is something less than 2 months into the previous year. This concurs with the autumn date for the flood, which continued on the earth for 1 year and 10 days. Then Noah left the ark at the end of 2473, and you'll find a further elaboration of this in Great Pyramid Passages, Volume 2, page 139. We can now geometrically project the measure back to the surface of the casing stones, and note that it is something more than 147 inches back. That's the 23 and the 124 inches. What we do not know is the exact dimensions of the surface covering door, or its shape, or just where one could mark the beginning of the descending passage floor. But it took up some space near the dashed lines to cover the opening. I have only let my mind work a little along this line, and we will share it with you. If the base of the door was about 27 inches, there would be just 120 inches of floor space before the flood line. The proximity could be very close to the 120-inch point corresponding to the same date that God gave Noah the plan for the ark, and connecting here with the same point in stone. 120 years later, the door was also closed behind Noah, and he waited 7 days for the rain to begin. So the door here is closed. And very shortly the flood line is indicated. Hence mankind begin a new generation descending towards the pit. But this is some little speculation, as we cannot exactly measure this. Let us now return to the point of intersection of 1512 BC. I was trying to see what could be here indicated in the space between the courses of humanity. Without changing the scale and using the same central point, allow me a little additional speculation, and we only classify it as that. Our counting began at the birth of Jesus point, just 33 and a half inches down from the upper end of the ascending passage, to reach a point marked 1512 BC. We might walk back and mark various other events according to our chronology, as we did with the flood. But if we continue back in time just these 33 and a half inches, we reach a date corresponding to 1545 BC, marked midway below the other end of the ascending passage. Think of this. The Hebrew form of the word Jesus' name is Joshua, which is a conjunction of the words Jehovah and Savior. And Jesus became a great deliverer by his sacrificial death. Joshua also delivered his people after giving of the law. We do not know the exact year of Joshua's birth, but we know just how long he lived. We can assume that he and Caleb were within a year or so of each other, as they were both young soldiers under Moses to spy out the land. And we know that Caleb was 40 years old near the Exodus. Assuming that Joshua was 40 at the Exodus, in the year of our chronology, 1615, and knowing that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old, Joshua 24, verse 29, this would place his death just 70 years after the Exodus in 1545. So, at the end of the passage, you have the death of the typical Joshua. At the other end, you have the birth and death of the antitypical Joshua. So you may say, Brother Jerry, this is too much speculation. Assuming Joshua's age at the Exodus and using an unmarked point at the end of the passage. Well, to entice your interest, let us read a couple of verses before the one we just cited in Joshua 24, 26 and 27, which occurred just before Joshua died at 110 years old. Joshua 24, verse 26. Joshua wrote these words of the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Well, let us return to some more direct measures and something, shall we say, more concrete. Let us begin at the same BC 2 date and proceed back in time again, now down the law age to the point of intersection, and thence forward in time to the horizontal portion before the pit. Notice this juncture that seems to telescope into the horizontal section. Here we reach a period in history that corresponds to 1440 AD, the date that Gutenberg introduced the printing press. The first book printed on that press was the Holy Bible. The course of history is about to change with the era of the printed page. But we also see a little bit further down, 1521 and 1524 are indicated with the inch measure to the peculiar floor juncture. Martin Luther was summoned to the trial in the city of Worms. An edict was prepared against him. He stood his ground. He was excommunicated and fled for hiding at the Wartburg Castle. Then he began his translation of the scriptures into German, which eventually found their way into the Gutenberg press, all in the year 1521. In 1524, another edict was issued against him, but the Reformation was already well underway and altered the course of history as this passage alters its course. And now continuing to the pit, there are as many inches as years to 1874. It is most interesting to note that if the passageway also continued on the same incline downward, the same pit wall line extends 40 more inches, marking the date 1914, ending the Gentile times and their breakup and the beginning of their eviction. We should not be surprised that if a line from the 1874 date onward across the pit and down to the level of the extended passage and on through the end of the blind passage measures what? Precisely 1,000 inches of years, beyond which the plan of the ages in the Bible in stone does not continue. Brethren, now let us return to the birth and death point of Jesus and begin looking up the gallery. Beginning at the same birth point and continuing to count forward those 33 and a half years of Jesus' life, we come to his death and resurrection that opened the way of life and immortality. But it was the power to open these ways, and there is a way to progress onward with faith. If we take the beginning of the Grand Gallery as the year 33, when the Gospel Age opened for the church at Pentecost, and measuring up the gallery an inch for a year, the front of the great step marks the date 1846. This is the date of the cleansing of the sanctuary prophesied by Daniel, chapter 8. It is the date where a nucleus of saints began to assemble, all the threads of truth and grace once clouded by Babylon for centuries. This began a period of uplift for the Christian walk. The Evangelical Alliance sought to contain the quest for truth with binding creeds. But continuing to measure right through the step, to intersect a line of the south wall of the Grand Gallery, we find the date 1914 indicated. This is prophetically the end of the Gentile times, the seven times of Leviticus 26, and the overturning that was prophesied by Ezekiel. Yet many are grateful that the door of the high calling remains open for some time. Still, there is a glorious hope, and something beautiful lies just ahead. While one might make various projections from this time forward, we are not inclined to do so because the incline or angular floor lines do not seem to be projected any further. The nature of the horizontal floor through the antechamber and the king's chambers seem destined for some separate but wonderful lessons. For now, let us look for more confirmation within the great stone step for our chronology. If 1914 is so clearly indicated, but hidden just below the surface for the physical eye, shouldn't 1874 also be indicated somewhere between 1846 and 1914? Brother, notice, far up on the eastern wall of the Grand Gallery, at the level of the top overlap, is an entrance cut that leads to the passage over the chambers of construction above the King's Chamber. Analyzing the dimensions of that entrance and determining its width, one can find the center and drop a line from the center to a point on the step and continue to measure down to the intersect point with the line of the Grand Gallery. This connects exactly with the October 1874 point, as begun far below, beginning at Christ's birth and death, and measuring up an inch for a year up the Grand Gallery, and measuring up to this point, 1874. It indicates when Jesus returned to earth, to his vineyard, to inspect the fields and laborers and enter upon his kingship. Is the line arbitrary? Was this an invention? The line is just 305 inches long. Now, lay this line on its side, and it is also just 305 inches from this very point to where? The entrance of the king's chamber. No longer, no shorter. The chronological event is hidden and marked by the point on the angle of the floor. The line and length from above points to the nature of the events. It marks Jesus' return to earth. Only seen by the eye of faith. Well, brethren, what about the 1914 date? Is there any other confirmation that this is built with the seven times of the Gentiles? We all know that 2,520 years of the Gentile lease began at the end of Israel's crowned kings and the burning of Jerusalem with the year 606 and onward. Now notice the distance from the north to the south walls here. The south walls of the Grand Gallery and the north wall. Along the precise angle of this Grand Gallery, it is 1881.598 inches. From here, it is easy to construct a right-sided triangle, a right-sided triangle with a base and a vertical to this same gallery slope and dimensions. These two components, the vertical and the horizontal, total 2,520 inches. The same years contributing to the point where the wall and the floor meet, indicated by the year 1914. It may take a little to absorb some of these things and the power of this kind of lesson and the geometry here. One can say, well, your 1914 was contrived because you set the beginning point in the Grand Gallery. But we know that 1914 is a product of 2,520 years. The two components of that hypotenuse is 2,520 inches. It is not contrived. Now, brethren, we have noted the locations of a number of dates that synchronize only with our chronology. And here are some of them that we have talked about today. We did not dwell at length on some of them. You see some of them prophetic down at this end of the age, some of them around Jesus' birth, some reaching back to the flood, to Joshua. All this is to be read in the stones if we know how to listen. But where is Adam? He's the critical component that we don't see here yet. Without confirming the creation date, some might still revise the links in between and say we have not yet reached 6 days. So now we want to take a quick look at our chronology as presented in Volume 2. There we learn that Jesus was born just 1.25 years before our common era, B.C. A.D. line, in what we call B.C. 2, shown here just a little to the left of the traditional line. You are familiar with this, I think, from Volume 2, that Jesus was born not on exactly what we call A.D. B.C., a little before. But God does not regard man's reckoning. He sent his Son as the Logos at the right time, at the right moment in the history of mankind. There we learn that marking our calendar 1.25 years before the B.C. A.D. line, as the exact year of Jesus' birth. And it does not really matter what the years are marked. What matters is how many years there are between Adam and restitution. There were a fixed number of years from creation until Jesus' real birth, and there are a fixed number of years afterwards for a total of 7,000 years, the seventh day. The 7,000-year day from Adam is divided between 4,127 years from the birth of the first Adam to the birth of Christ, the second Adam. And then there are 2,873 more years after his actual birth to the end of 7,000 years from Adam's creation. Just hold these two numbers in memory for a moment. 4127 and 2873. We're not talking about AD, BC designations. The number of years before and after Christ, the Logos, came into the earth, making a total of 7,000 years. Remember those two numbers. Now let us again recall the plan of the ages. With Adam on one end and full restitution on the other end of 7,000 years. Now we fix in our mind the pyramid outline. We remember the chronology with Jesus' birth point in the middle, and the two important numbers. And we saw how this peculiar point was marked near the end of a law age, when the Logos came to the earth. Now we see Adam created, and after 7,000 years, or 7,000 inches of years, Adam will be fully restored again. For this illustration, it does not matter at which end Adam is shown. You may consider him on the left or the right, as we are used to reading the chart of the ages, usually from the left. The line, the yellow line, is simply a 7,000-year line. Now recall the date of the second Adam, born into the world. And I want to ask you, where does this point fall below on this 7,000-year line? This line was constructed independently of the passage systems. How is that line divided? By the Jesus point. It is divided precisely between 4127 and and 2873, making a total of 7,000. When we contemplated the implications of this and many more synchronisms, we were struck with awe and wonder. But the journey was just beginning with these two numbers, or halves of human history. The half from Adam to the second Adam, and the second portion from the second Adam to the first Adam's full recovery. Here we have orange showing the length of BC years, and blue is the length of AD years. The total represents just 7,000 years from Adam. We can take the orange length of BC years and extend them backward, even beyond the flood line that we noted before, and mark that point as Adam. Then we can place the length of the blue AD years from Jesus forward. We could likewise extend the same BC years downward, that which meets the same Adam line on the right. Or we could as well extend the full 7,000-year lines of both portions, with both BC and AD years directly downward. Here we notice the line after Jesus, what, passes directly by the entrance to the base of the well shaft, representing the way of the ransom. This line also passes directly under the lowest extremity of the pit shaft. The ransom speaks of the time when there will be no more death. O grave, where is thy sting? 1 Corinthians 15:55. Now, dear brethren, we always wondered why the entrance to the well shaft is just where it is, rather than further up or further down on the passage. I want you to contemplate that question for a moment. Why was it placed here? Is there any relationship to our timeline and events? If we mark the level of Adam's creation with a red line, we find it also crosses the descending passage just where the well shaft ascends above the descending passage. The level of the well mouth and the projected point of Adam's creation. In this way, the creation of Adam, just 4127 years before the birth of Christ, indicates that Adam's fall will find an escape only at the entering the way of the ransom. But keep in mind an important fact here. In the fixed nature of stones, keep in mind that if the orange line were longer or shorter, if the BC years are not as our chronology has indicated, this line would be projected shorter or longer. Then the red line and the level of Adam's creation would be higher or lower than the entrance to the ransom passage. One cannot revise the length of years between Adam and Jesus without marring the symmetry between the fall of the first Adam and the work of redemption of the second Adam. No other point indicating the birth and death of Jesus could produce such a baseline with these two halves of human history. No other chronology than that which we have validated in the scriptures could find such confirmation in these angles, lines, and dimensions. No other history will be so corroborated in this stone witness. No other plan addresses a salvation for mankind. For all the seed of Abraham, as the stars and sand of the sea, as shown here. When our Lord rode into Jerusalem, the crowds hailed him as the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Luke 19:37-40. And the Pharisees urged him to rebuke the crowds. And what did Jesus answer? If these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. And they would immediately cry out. And they will cry out. And so today, these very stones of the Great Pyramid are crying out to confirm the wisdom and foreknowledge of our Creator and author of the divine plan of the ages. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for that wonderful confirmation of Volume 2. Let's close this session with a singing of 317. That's 317. Rising on the last verse, and Brother Jerry will close this session with a word of prayer. And as we're waiting, just as a reminder, brethren, we still have quite a few brethren coming, so if you would be so kind to squeeze in just a tad bit or remove your belongings from the chair so the brethren that are coming will be able to find a chair to sit. So again, 317, rising on the last verse, and we'll ask Brother Jerry to close this session with prayer.
gracious Father in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Dear Father, we are humbled and feel so small before the mighty works of thy hands, the works of thy fingers in the heavens above and the earth below. We bow before thee and thy mighty word, the sacredness of the precious promises. Your Father, help us by faith to lay hold upon these things. And your Father, we trust that this witness will continue to be a greater and grander witness to the masses of mankind returning from the grave. We leave our times in thy care, ask thy blessing upon our fellowship, upon our hearts and our minds and our lips. In Jesus' precious name, amen.